So if I say I have to go for a few minutes, it'll be a break. And some more have a breaks. The weather's bad, obviously. And a big snowstorm is headed in. A big one. That could be challenging. But we do have a storm that goes all the way from Canada to Texas. Have you guys looked at the weather, man? You know, a lot of people said that was impossible. And it's just beginning. These are the beginning cycles of some of the more notable changes that we're going to have atmospherically, especially concerning weather, right? Also, it is Friday, right? April 26th, and we're on a two-day countdown. This is very important, the transference of messages. Again, I suspect it's going to hit probably tomorrow night through Tuesday, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. So let me help you guys with this, why I said that. You guys know that last week and the week before, Israel was stopped. They were stopped a few times from taking out quite a few things in the Middle East. You guys know that, right? And we're just not talking about a couple missiles, bunker busters. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a coordinated strike from multiple countries, okay? They were stopped a few times, twice. And so this last time, when all this traffic came about, right, that you guys were tracking, that's what you were hearing. That will no doubt start back up again. No doubt, right? Every time there are, you may not know this, but you guys are so close to a change in life you didn't expect, right? You're extremely close. It is only God's graces that more than a few times, cooler has prevailed. But make no mistake, the plan is still in action. Still in action. You know what that means? Hope you guys know what that means. We had a simple delay. That's it. The world had a pause. Also, Macron. You guys do understand that Macron right now, because Germany was weak in its positions, Macron is taking up, by way of strength, militarized forces, plans of action, coordinated efforts with NATO to spearhead some activity with both Russia and in the Middle East. To Macron, the Middle East was a distraction from something major. Yes, I said something major. And China is involved. So I can tell you that now. That means Macron has been empowered, guys. He is the individual right now who is the strength of Europe, right? He's calling many shots and he's proposing some plans. He's gathering one of the largest military elements ever. Hope you guys know that. Macron is gathering one of the largest military elements ever. I won't go into detail with that. It's too early for that. And that's not really out there, but you guys can track that and see it for yourselves. Macron. Mr. Macaroni himself. I say that with no disrespect. Lord forgive me, I probably did. He is getting a pretty sizable force together. He is a person of action, right? And he also believes in preempting things. Hope you guys know what that means. He also, you know, France is a nuclear nation. You guys know that, right? France is. So he's not bluffing, right? You guys will hear aggressive language coming from him concerning Putin shortly. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear aggressive language coming from him concerning China. Shortly, you're going to hear it. The Macron character, this guy has taken over the entirety of operations in that region. And so it's a good statistic to say that he will impose the next move. He will. He is very dissatisfied with the job of Europe, right? Specifically Germany. He's very dissatisfied with Brexit situation, you know, those people that kind of leaped out. He's very dissatisfied with how that whole thing happened. And he is a person of action now. He's been working diligently for a long time, right? A long, long time. And so here he is setting things up. If you guys can be reminded, normally and usually, you always have these individuals that come in and they start changing policies, setting things up, this, that, and the other happens. And then all of a sudden, somebody else steps and they sit in that chair of power of which everything is prepared. Keep that in mind, because the USA is doing the exact same thing. Policies have been shifted and changed. And I'm telling you now, it should be no secret to anybody that Biden is not going to last long. So anything of any power move, he has enabled a president, right, to actually perform. He will not be the man doing it. He won't. Somebody else is going to step into power of which you don't know what they're predisposed to do. And they're going to exercise all the powers Biden set up. Keep that in mind, because we are, you know, we're really headed for some times that are quite, they're not quite going to match up with what the average person would like. He really won't. But keep those things in mind. That means it could get scary. Very scary for a time. But we all know what's coming, right? We all know that a kingdom is being put together. A person is about to come forward. A person who comes from a small people. A person of whom they do not give honor of the kingdom, but he will come in peaceably, right? He'll win everybody over with flatteries. He'll do what his fathers have not done, or his father's fathers. He will scatter among them the prey, the spoils, and the riches, right? Even the Prince of the Covenant is going to be overtaken by this person. That means you know who the Prince of the Covenant is. There's but one covenant in the Bible. One covenant in the Old Testament. Just one. Right? And that deals with Israel, the land of Israel, the promised land, right? Israel, Jerusalem, right? So anybody who is a prince over that place is the prince of the Holy Covenant. And even he is taken, or let's just say, sidetracked for a little while. Maybe that's why Israel goes, they're under siege during a specific time. And it just so happens at the time we're in, we have two individuals, two, and in my opinion, both are starting to, they seem like they're slowing down as far as cognitive abilities, right? They are. It just seems that way to me. It seems that way. So somebody else will be coming to the table. They will. I mean, I know a lot of people, they don't like that, right? But somebody else will be coming to the table. You know, I thought about it. Somebody said, well, what if Trump wins, right? Right now, as it stands, Trump is more likely to win than anybody else. But suppose he does, right? I can't help but to observe the track record of people and how they're engaged in life. When Trump was president, he went to 5 or 6 different rallies per day, ran the country, had meetings, right? Still jumped on television, did this, that, and the other. He did all that one day, every single day. This guy was supercharged. These days, he's taking more and more breaks, which means stress starting to get to him, which is totally understandable. It's totally understandable, right? It's a very stressful situation, totally understandable. But it also means it's starting, when it starts to get to you like that, right? It'll begin to show. It'll begin to show, and it can have adverse effects. Right? So keep your prayers for all those who are in duress like that. Right? I know a lot of you guys think, well, he's a criminal. He deserves what he gets. Let me share this with you. Every single last one of us were criminals before Christ forgave us. And without Christ, you're a criminal. Okay? That's what we are, criminals. We are. We're criminals. Right? It's just that people know what he did. They don't know what other people did. All of them, none of them are squeaky clean. They're not. Okay, they're not. Every single last one of them has inappropriately stepped forward in life doing something. They have. It's just that nobody found them out yet. That's all. You keep that in mind, too. That way you're thinking about the seat of the presidency. Right? You're thinking about that. If we had a moral meter, that we utilize to pick out presidents, we would not have one. We couldn't pick a president from the selection that we have when it comes to morals. But when it comes to getting the job done, then you got to admit, you have to admit, even for those who don't appreciate Trump, I remember nobody liked him when he first came in there. And I had a little statement. He was the only one. He was the only one that made Europe pay up. He was the only one that caused the Middle East to double check every plan they ever had, because he called their bluff. He's a businessman, right? He is. And plus, our father knows exactly what he's doing. According to the people of the land, so will the leader be selected, put in power, and we will be under whatever that leader does. We're going to be under that, right? The selection of a leader depends highly upon you. God's not going to give us what we want. God will select according to his word what he said we would have. So remember that too. Remember that. Whatever the people warrant, they will endure. If the people become violent, Lord help them all. Lord help them all. All right, so it's not, I know it's nice to think that somebody is one sole person that's pulling the strings. No, Satan can't do anything he wants to do. God has to allow Satan to do certain things or he can't do anything at all. He can't even exist without the Father's approval. Remember that. He can't. So keep all those things in mind, because we're in for it. We're in a place and time we've just not been before. And then, when you know it, the bugs come up, the cicadas. Did you guys hear about that in South Carolina? They were so bad in South Carolina, people were calling 911 on the bugs. You guys did hear about that, right? Those things are loud. And they really came up in volume. Like it was so loud, people called 911. But they did come up. And wouldn't you know it, now we start to have these huge storms that are coming. They're in Colorado Mountains, for example, right? Right outside of, a little bit north of Cheyenne, a little bit south of Denver, near that subway. You guys know that subway on NORAD Road. Anyway, a snowstorm is coming. It's going to drop some heavy snows in the mountain, probably hitting close to some record numbers, which is odd. Not odd, but also water, right? Water is going to be quite heavy with this storm that's forming, and it's forming, so it could get a lot worse. Other states have just gone through some sort of tornadic wall. Cold temperatures are coming down from Canada. There's a low-pressure system dominating to the west of the Great Lakes. It will continue to travel on its jet stream trajectory, but it's also going to pick up a lot of moisture in Texas. Lots of moisture. Now, Texas does not need, you know, if they start getting floods again, because they just had some. Anytime anything hits the Gulf, now the Gulf waters are not incredibly hot right now. They're not. So we're kind of saved by that. But it will pick up some of that moisture and dump it into places that already have water. Some places are waterlogged, so it's coming anyway. This is going to become one of those patterns that we'll see over and over and over and over again. Over again. This weather is not only going to hit the U.S. Have you guys noticed something? I want to bring your attention to something. No other country gets weather like the USA. Have you guys noticed that? Think about this. Who deals with tornadoes? Most. Who does? Who deals with hurricanes? Most. Who does? Think about it. Who does? You guys don't find that odd, right? You know, this storm that's coming through now is coming through in a very sensitive area. Very sensitive area. If it does any damage when it's coming through, it could bring us to a complete halt. Do you know that? I wouldn't be surprised if they try to encourage this storm to go around certain parts of Colorado. I wouldn't be surprised. All right? And we're not talking about NORAD. Forget about NORAD. That's not what we're talking about. Sometimes things are in plain sight. They really are. Anyway, these storms are coming through, and they're going to hit some very sensitive areas. In Texas, likewise, those floods were in very sensitive areas. And some of the storms that are projected to form, very sensitive areas. Right now, the storm line that has active hook clouds and tornadoes in it is on track to pass in very sensitive areas. Now, I find this quite amazing. Myself, I really do, that these storms are causing more damage to the American military machine than anything else. That is very odd. I know for a fact they're going to try and stop it when it comes to Florida. They always do, right? The way you divert a storm is you seed the atmosphere, right? Where the heaviness, if it starts drawing dust, where you have seeded a storm, naturally it's going to be a lot heavier. So it will both push everything else out of the way, and it will drag new developing fronts with it. They often do this to counterbalance really bad storms that are about to hit very sensitive areas. That's how they do it, right? They have sound weapons also that work quite well in the atmosphere, but only momentarily, right? Only momentarily. Some of the weapons, if they were to use them, would cause human beings to have some irreversible effects. Almost immediate death for a lot of people, a lot of agony for others, right? But it just so happens, you know, these storms are forming, and people are starting to hear trumpets again. I forgot to tell you guys that yesterday, the trumpets, and nobody's reporting on that. Nobody's reporting on the trumpets, the loud trumpets people are hearing. Not, you know, last time it was those noises in the atmosphere. A couple of weeks ago, I told you guys those noises were coming back. Now they're hearing trumpets, specifically trumpets, trumpet blasts. They're specifically hearing those. It has a lot of people on edge spiritually. It does. Lots of people on edge. But those noises are coming back. Somebody says, where? Don't worry. They're going to be all over the globe. Right? Whenever God does something, He does it worldwide, not in some small little place in a closet or in some isolated landmass. He does it worldwide. When the Lord does something, everybody will experience it, right? Everybody will. And people are starting to hear those noises again. Did you guys know that in space, there is no noise until something hits atmosphere where sound waves can actually travel? Right? Do you guys believe that? In space, there are pockets. Very dense pockets sometimes, right? They found this out at CERN in vacuums. You know, they're running a big vacuum system there. And they had to get rid of pockets for the vacuum. Something is opposing the vacuum. It's very odd, anomalous behavior. They know what it is now. Same thing happens in space. So, for example, if in space, all of a sudden, our atmosphere was doubled due to one of these anomalies, the deafening sounds that would come from over your head would sing you to your knees. That's how loud it would be in space, naturally. Right? That's natural noise from space. I do suspect we're going to have that phenomena in several parts of the Earth. I do suspect that. I do. I suspect that big time. But they're coming back. And a lot of people are not going to be in observation mode. Many of you are going to be distracted from tracking what you think is potentially the end. I'm going to come back from this break. We're going to talk about that. Because hopefully you're not distracted. Hopefully you guys are very focused. Right? No matter what you hear, see, war is coming. It is. We know this. War is coming. We know that. Devastations will follow. We know that. darkness is rising. We know that. It's been rising for a long time. It's just to the point where it's not gone away yet, and it seems like nobody can get rid of it. We already know that. We know that the nuclear conversation is on the table right now, tonight. We know that. We know that. One of those reasons is, if somebody were to hit Iran and penetrate some of their deeper facilities they have, that would be a moment, that would be a huge explosion, guys. To penetrate that much earth and be effective at it does not happen with one projectile. But one projectile will open it up. Others follow to decimate whatever that structure is. If that happens, it will be akin to a small tactical nuke by way of its yield. If that takes place, people will interpret nothing but sheer horror. And because many countries over there, right, there are some nuclear-armed countries over there, they will not hesitate to counter-strike if they get the wrong intel. So it's very important that whomever launches such an offensive, they have to contact everybody over there. They have to somehow let everybody know what they're doing. They have to leak out the plans. They have to have a play-by-play. Some sort of play-by-play that people can track. And if they can track it, so can you. That's at the beginning, not during execution. So they have to give plenty of warning so people can figure out what's happening. Because if they don't, it'll cause massive fears within people who have no idea what just happened. Some of the conventional weapons do look like nuclear explosions. And if you were to see one, you may be convinced it was a nuclear explosion. Some of those weapons can set off those nuclear sensors, right? There's some of the older ones. So a country could interpret some sort of nuclear strike. And that too would be bad. That too would be bad. So they're going to have to leak it. They're going to have to let everybody know what they're planning. Until either the abort call comes in or committal. And that's going to happen. Probably we're going to see a scenario like that next. I'd say probably a good day spans the next 4 days. Why? Because Israel right now is planning to hit several parts of the Middle East. They're committed to getting rid of Hamas. Hamas said this, that if they would go back to the lines back in the 60s, right, those property lines in the 60s, they would have a ceasefire, agree to a ceasefire. For a number of years. That's what they said. Do you think Israel is going back to those 1960s borderlines? No. They're not doing that. Not with Benjamin Netanyahu right there. Now you do have some in Israel that are now saying, you know what they're saying? Listen to me. The only thing stopping that is Benjamin Netanyahu. If anybody else gets in power, there will be a negotiation of the parting of that land from the inside of Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu is the only thing in the way right now. There are other people, right, in Israel right now in leadership. Well, what we'll say that will be in leadership. And what they're saying is, land is not, you know, to give up that land, to go back to certain dividing lines, is not too heavy of a price. Because some of those people are very, they're just as sensitive as some of these college kids to Hamas. Their excuse is, or let's just say their pitch, is they don't like the death that's incurred from combat. Right? There are innocents dying on both sides. to stop that cycle of death, to give up part of that land, they said, it's worth it. To stop the cycle of killing. They said it was worth it. Now keep in mind, this is Hamas. This is the deal they're making. This deal they're making. So it's something else you can track. Now, in the Bible, what does it say in Joel chapter 3? It said they parted his land. So we know that they will part the land. That's in Joel. In fact, it's in a couple of places. The Lord brings that up again. They parted his land. They parted his land. Now that can mean two things. That can mean right now, with their existing borders, the land could still be parted. There's a possibility of the land of Israel has never been whole. It's always been parted. So it's been parted for a very long time. That's one possibility. The next one is that the new government that will come into power in Israel is going to agree with those adversaries around them to part the land. And according to the book of Daniel, the king of the south and the king of the north sit down and tell lies at one table. That's politics. That's what that means. That's negotiating, right? Political negotiations. So they'll sit down and make these promises and plans and everything else they're not able to keep. That's why they're called lies. And then they'll go their separate ways. But the prince of the north won't get everything he was promised, right? And he'll have great indignation against the king of the south, the prince of the Holy Covenant. Then that's when he goes out and he'll have intelligence with those that forsake the Holy Covenant. That means somebody, listen to me, that means whoever this person is coming to the forefront, is going to have a series of talks with Israel. Then they're going to go back and they're going to gather up other folks who have a list of infractions with Israel. And it seems like this war with Hamas could very well be the doorway as to how they would do it. Because think about this. How many crimes have people in the Middle East, have people said that Israel has committed in this Hamas-Israeli conflict? Lots, right? Right? So if somebody goes out to different countries and they get a big list of grievances saying that Israel is responsible for breaking international law, right, for breaking treaties and everything else due to their conduct in combat, that's in the book of Daniel. That's exactly what they do in the book of Daniel. And they will blame Israel for that, just like they're doing now. Are they not in the UN right now? Right now, they're not in the UN saying that Israel has broken international law. That Israel has done this. Isn't that the same thing you see in the book of Daniel? Because in the book of Daniel, when it says he will have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant, it's a list of grievances, of charges, saying that Israel, blaming Israel for everything. This Hamas war opened the door. I mean, it could very well open the door to this. And we could see this rather quickly. Somebody said Israel is a cup of trembling. In context, know this about a cup of trembling. First, Israel is attacked. First, Israel is overcome. Then when God looks down upon the land after they've been attacked, then they become a cup of trembling, right? To all who are round about her. So then all those people who came down around Israel, who set their hearts against her, at first, she is not a cup of trembling, right? She's not going to cause them to quiver in their boots. They will attack her and overcome her. But after a designated time, that 42 months, God himself will fight on behalf of Israel. And at that time, Israel is going to strike fear. That land and is going to strike fear in the hearts of those who ever thought to come against it. that's when Israel becomes a cup of trembling. That's when it happens. Then it happens. So I always throw in the complete part. I know a lot of people, they jump straight to the cup of trembling part. But then if you read the whole thing, a lot of people don't, they'll read the whole thing and say, well, wait a minute. It says Israel's attacked and overcome and this, that, and the other. I thought it was a cup of trembling. Well, it is after that designated time of 3.5 years, right? 3.5 years, she's going to be trampled underfoot. 3.5 years, she's going to be under siege. 3.5 years. And then after that 3.5 years, anybody who set their hearts against Jerusalem, against Israel, they're going to wish they had never been alive. In fact, the Bible in one part says it'd be better if they'd not been born. Right? That's in context. So one of the persistent things I always say, always talk about, is that 3.5 years with Israel. It is the very thing. A lot of people don't like to discuss it. Well, see, I'm sorry, guys. I have to have the whole truth here because there were times when I operated by half-truth. Right? A half-truth will only hurt others. And you'll get hurt in the end by half-truth. You'll be ill-prepared for what really happens. You can be heartbroken, too. So I've been there and done that before. I'm not doing that here. Context is very important in the Word of God, which is why I'm such a stickler for things in the Word of God. I will not compromise. I won't compromise. Because the Bible, those scriptures are the truth. They are the truth, right? And I'm telling you right now, I've been on the opposite side. I've been behind the doors where Satan dwells. I've been there. I know what he's up to. I know how he works. He loves it when people only get the good part of Scripture and they don't hear the corrective part of Scripture. For example, right? Your story. You're going to be lifted up and delivered from the face of the earth. Now, if that's all you knew, that's what you would be looking for. And the first time a trial came, you would be upset beyond belief. But the Bible tells you the whole story. It tells you not to think it's strange when you start to endure fiery trials. Doesn't it? It says, don't think it's strange when you start going through these heavy things in life. Don't think that to be some odd thing. That's normal. But see, nobody teaches that, do they? They don't teach you it's normal to go through fiery trials. They don't teach that. But it is. If somebody ever tells you, hey, don't think it's strange if you see me walking down the street, that means it's normal, correct? It is normal for you as a believer to go through fiery trials. But how many people don't know that? And when they go through a fiery trial, they lose hope. You see what happens when you don't know that whole truth? You get heartbroken. You start looking for something God never promised. Now you're really confused because you'll say, wait a minute, God promised this, but I never got that. Then your faith, it's assaulted, it's attacked. But if you have the whole thing in context, your faith is going to do nothing but build because you have the truth. Because you'll say, wait a minute, God did not promise me good days always, but he did promise me deliverance, right? He did promise me growth. He did promise me wisdom. That's what you'll begin to say. You will not begin to say, well, it looks like I'm losing everything. Nothing is working out for me. You won't have that Charlie Brown syndrome. You'll know the truth. And when you know that truth, you can hold your head up. When everything is falling apart in your life, you can hold your head up and say, this is just a process. And I will be victorious in Christ at the end of it. So let me learn all of what I can learn in the middle of this mess. Then your trial, it becomes armor. It becomes a tool set. It becomes valuable. It becomes needful. Once you see the truth of that, you will not be tired again. And when the next one comes, so you'll be prepared. You'll say, well, this is normal. So let me endure until the end. See, that's why the Bible says, he who endures until the end, the same shall be saved. It did not say, he who endures himself until the end, the same is going to be saved. But it said endure. And if you have to endure, then something is against you. See that? All right. I'll be back in a few minutes right here at COT, everybody. It's getting bad. It's getting bad out there, everybody. It's getting pretty bad out there, especially in these tornadoes. Active tracks are everywhere, it seems. I hope that you guys are paying attention to your local forecasts. And prayers out to those guys who are in the middle of the path of these tornadoes. It truly is an outbreak, and it's going to continue. You know, at this point, it's only God's mercy. But I'll tell you something. And I mean this. The Lord knows what he has determined. He knows that. He knows. He knows it for your life and my life and everybody else's life. He knows that. Never forget that. Whether you be in the middle of a crisis, a storm, tornado, whatever the case may be, understand that the Lord has determined something for your life. Period. And nothing can alter that. Nothing can alter that. Lord knows I've seen a lot of people, I've known some, a lot of people who have not made it through these storms. Not today, but in general. And the Lord had something for them. They may pass from this world, but that was their time. See, because nobody goes anywhere until Christ says you're going somewhere. Nobody. Until the Lord is done with you, right? You're not going anywhere. And nothing can cause you to go anywhere. That's made clear in the Word of God. Nothing has power to make you go early. Nobody goes early unless the Lord decrees somebody goes early. That's why God gave Jesus the keys of hell, death, and the grave. He determines when a person's time is up. He does. Nobody else. Nobody else. So when it says, Michael, can you explain when the abomination of desolation occurs, that only those in Judea flee into the mountains? Well, guess what? Have you seen the setup during the abomination of desolation, right? And again, the book of Daniel shows one of the best setups that you could ever see in Daniel chapter 11, right? During that time, the people are of a specific mindset that's described all throughout the Word of God. Right now, they don't accept Christ, correct? The mass majority do not accept Christ. But why? Why don't they accept Christ? Because they were blinded. They were blinded, right? Spiritually blinded. They can't see. Does that mean God is through with the Jews? Absolutely not. He blinded them on purpose that the power of the holy people can be distributed throughout the earth. In other words, so you and I could have the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you and I could, right? Now, once the abomination of desolation is set up, those who are obedient to the voice of the Lord will flee to Judea. Those who flee, those who are exiled, one more time, they will be spared. Those who are left in that place, some will still exist. Some will be strong to exploits. But many will die by captivity, by the sword, by flame. They will. But those who are counted to make it, to be alive, just remember something. To leave this earth does not mean you're totally condemned. So never think that. Don't think that death somehow is this bad, awful thing. People have that backward. Let me share this with you. To be here on this earth is a task, right? If I were to go right now, I would not complain. I wouldn't. There's probably one or two things I would hate to leave. That's it. But I wouldn't complain. I'd go to be with the Lord. But if I stay, I can commit my days unto the Most High. See that? So death is not this thing people have made it out to be. The truth is, because people cannot see beyond the veil, and let's go ahead and face it, because of waning faith in these days, people think death is this horrible thing. It is not. When one passes from this world, are they not free? You better believe it. And who wouldn't want to be united with the Savior of all mankind? My goodness, that's celebration time. And believe it or not, internally, when somebody passes, that's precisely what I do, is I celebrate inside. I am overjoyed internally. I'm not saddened. So I'm kind of backward. Right? When a baby is born, I am ripped to shreds. Do you know that? I am. Because I know what that child has to face. Anybody out there who has not had an easy life, well, then you know too. You know too. Somebody said, has anyone told Mike to call? I spoke to Angela right before I got on air. We were talking before I got on air. She's good. She's okay. Anyway, so you guys got that. So don't think death is this bad thing. Death is freedom. Somebody who passes and they love the Lord, they're free. It's time for a celebration. Right? Time for a celebration. Anyway, never think somehow a mistake is made and your life ended up being absolutely nothing. The only way that can ever happen is if you rebel and stay in that rebellion, which you haven't. Even if you're here listening to me, it means that some part of you is on a hunt for those things of the Lord, right? So your life is full of meaning. And the Lord determines how long that will be. Somebody says, Mike and I have the same sentiments about death. Well, that's good, brother, because that's why I don't do funerals. I'm very odd when it comes to funerals. I cannot be like everybody else. I can't. I get happy for people who have fought the good fight. They fought the good fight. They struggle. Their health goes, you know, Abraham, his health went. He couldn't see. Moses got a little, you know, they thought it was lost a few times, right? So we do get old. We degrade. We degenerate, so to speak. But we fight the good fight until we can't fight it anymore. We're done. That means you're not going anywhere until the Lord is done with you. So long as you say yes to Christ, the Lord's not done with you yet. He's not through with you. He's not through with you. He's not finished with you yet. Right? So stop counting. Stop saying, well, you know, I'm 90. It's almost time for me to go. Don't say that. Let him, he will determine that. Do what you can do every single day. Do what you can do. Lord knows I know it. Guys, I'm telling you because I've wasted a lot of my time in life trying to be this perfect soldier, the perfect this, the perfect that, right? Made some serious mistakes in life, right? Made some awesome accomplishments in life, and all of it's for nothing. Do you know how many times I've been back to school to get yet another degree? Useless. Absolutely useless. And do you know that none of it means anything? It doesn't. Because what I'm after, school does not offer. What I'm after, skill sets in the world cannot yield. What I need in my life does not come from anything tangible. It doesn't. So I'm still on my pursuit too. I am. Right. I can walk in this world when I have 100% faith. When I do not doubt the calling or anything else. But I'm not so stubborn. Right? I'm still stubborn. So stubborn I won't talk about money. How silly is that? Right? But I can overcome all those things. I'll be so much better. Right? Until then, I fight the good fight of faith. I'm just like you. That's a fact. The Lord has stuck me in some extraordinary positions, but I'm just like you. He's had me do some good things and some not so good things as far as the areas I've been in. Right? And some of those areas I volunteered for and got myself stuck. Anytime you're stuck, the Lord provides a way out. But I'm on a pursuit. And just like you, right? I search for him. I don't think of life at all. I don't think of death. I think about what I can do for the Lord for real. Not the phony baloney stuff, but for real. For real. Somebody said, I don't feel like I've done the thing I was supposed to do. Well, guess what? Do it. First of all, the Lord knows what you're supposed to do, right? Listen, in your sincere fight, when you fight the good fight of faith sincerely, when you operate by love sincerely, and you start to shun all this reckless evil and violence, when you start to push that out of the way, you begin to see a path very, very clearly. And when you see that path, people around you will not understand. That's when you know you're on the right path. When everybody tells you, what are you doing? You should be doing something else. That's when you know you're doing the call of the Lord. When people no longer understand what you're doing, but what you're doing is incredibly sincere, that's when you know you're on the right path. If everybody agrees with you, I can tell you right now, you're not on the right path. Jesus said, woe unto you, right? When men speak well of you, and all these people like you, he said, for so did they to the false prophets that came before you. He said, blessed are you when men revile you, cast you out of their company and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. That's what he said. Blessed are you when that happens. Do you know why? Because they hated Christ. And if the Spirit of Christ be within you, they're going to hate you for no reason whatsoever. They're not going to know you. They will always assume, but they will know you. And they'll hate you. They'll make up everything about you. Expect it and keep going forward. They cannot interrupt what the Lord has for you to do. They can't. And if you feel like you have not done what you're supposed to do, all you have to do is begin to walk by faith, to seek obedience, and you will fulfill what the Lord sent you here to fulfill. You will. You're not going to come up short. We have an advocate, right? And the truth is, all of us come up short, but we have an advocate with the Father. The truth is, all of us have missed the mark. We have, but we have an advocate with the Father. That's the truth. The truth is, all of us without Christ are scum and we are condemned. We're but vessels of flesh who can't even get that right. But with Christ, we have an opportunity to grow. And it's by his power we prevail. And for his name's sake, we shall prevail. And by way of his love, he shall deliver all of us. And it's the will of God that he not lose one of us. Somebody says, what if your spouse doesn't understand why you put God's work first? Well, guess what? The Bible is clear about that. You ready? You ready? In the Bible, you do not take your spouse and kick your spouse to the curb to serve the Lord. Because the Lord sees you as one flesh. You know what the Bible says? When you are married, your attention is divided. You have to both serve the Lord and serve your spouse. Right? That's why one of the apostles, he sat there and said it. He said, if you can help it, don't get married. If you can live without burning with lust, you guys know what I'm talking about. He said, if you can help it, don't get married, so that you can devote all of your time to Christ. That's a radical, huh? But if you're married, have balance in your life. You wouldn't leave your right side behind and go and serve the Lord just with your left side, would you? No. Your whole body goes, right? When the Lord perceives you, when you're married, he perceives both of you as one flesh. That is serious. So you can't leave your spouse and serve the Lord, if it indeed is your spouse. So how do you do that? With balance. You are that side of the mind who knows the Lord, right? You know how you fight with yourself? You'll say, well, I'm going to do the Lord's will right now. But then your flesh starts speaking up. In a marriage like that, right, that spouse who does not know the Lord is just like the flesh. So that means you have to be just like the Spirit. keep balancing your life. Keep loving your life. Forgive everything and continue to walk forward. Don't condemn the left side of your body or the right side of your body. But take the whole body and go forward and watch the Lord do His work. See, there are too many people who are willing to just, when somebody does not come out to be like they thought, they're just ready to cut them loose and go somewhere else. We got to get out of that mindset. All of us have a fight in us, but we want to fight the wrong things, right? How about this? How about we fight for those things that God says are precious, like marriage? Fight for that. So long as you're not in an abusive relationship, fight for that marriage, right? Fight for it. Your spouse does not have to receive everything you say. You be a demonstrator of God's goodness, and He will demonstrate through you that your spouse will start to change. You are the covering of your spouse. Huh? You are. You make the difference. But we gotta start fighting for the right things, not those popular things. See, a lot of people, they want that easy life. Let me tell you something about it. I don't want an easy life. I found out something about an easy. There was a time when I achieved everything I wanted to achieve. I did. I told you guys once before, as when I was in stocks, I had a lot. I achieved everything. I had a good career. I did stocks on the side, and it just so happened I was good with numbers, and I knew what I was doing. I achieved everything. You know what happened? I died inside. I was dead. You ever hear that term, dead as 4 o'clock? Right? I was dead. When you have nothing opposing you, you start to die instantly. You think you can have a paradise here on this earth. You're wrong. You're wrong. You'll die inside. If nothing pushes at you, if nothing tries you, if nothing challenges you, you'll die inside. I became empty, fruitless. Everybody else, he achieved what he wanted to achieve. But I died inside. When I died inside, you know what I did next? I sabotaged everything. I did. I hated everything that had become. And I let everything go. And guess what happened? When I let everything go, and I began to see, right, the difficulties of going up just a little bit, but this time in truth, this time, without greed and all that other stuff, something else happened. It truly is a fight. But every day of that fight is precious. And every day of that fight causes you to grow in the Word of God. See, that's why you can begin. You can start out as one person. You're not going to end up that way. So don't fall for that either. People change. They change. How you see people right now is not who they're going to be later on. They change. That's why I told you guys, don't defend me when other people say, you know, this about me or that about me and this. Don't do that. They don't know me. Of course they're going to say things. And if they don't know something and make something up, they're still going to say things. Don't defend that. They're always going to do that. Let time define everything. Let time do it. Let truth do it. When the Lord picks a vessel, right? It always proposed a question. Who's going to go through the dirt to serve the Lord? Think about that. A lot of people, they look at the prophets and they envy the prophets. They're like, wow, I wish I was like a prophet. Yeah, but the prophets were isolated. They couldn't partake in what everybody else partook of. Right? You know they fought the good fight of faith. They were still men of flesh. They had overcome things. You don't know what kind of conversations they have with themselves. You don't. It's rough. Some of these pastors out there, right, that do a good job that people like, they're fighting every single day of their lives. Their life is not without a fight. It's not this glamorous life you think it is. They are fighting. And when you fight, your life becomes rich. Oh, it becomes so rich. Do you know why? Because you employ the word of God to fight. One thing you find out is you cannot use the weapons of common man, because you find yourself in a spiritual war. And you have to really believe, and you have to really walk by faith. You have to really depend upon Christ. A lot of people can say, oh, I love the Lord, but see, they're not dependent upon Christ. They're dependent upon their job. They're dependent upon other things. When you're dependent upon Christ, because nothing else is guaranteed, everything changes in your life. I needed that. I can't talk about faith and not live my life by faith. I have to live my life by faith. And when I say live my life by faith, I mean no guarantees to my life. It's by faith or it's not at all. So if I am sustained today, I am sustained by faith, not by any other reason. So I said the prophets suffered. I'm sure they did. I'm not a prophet. I'm not even close to a prophet, right? I'm just a guy from the bushes, and the Lord uses me from time to time. But you could say I'm somewhat friendless. Right? A lot of you guys, you know, people can go to other people and talk about things all the time. I go to no one. Me and the flower talk from time to time, right, about things, but when I go to someone, I go to the Father. He is my go-to person. Nobody has ever heard me complain. In what? About 30 years, nobody has ever heard me complain. Think about that. No complaints for 30 years. No one can accuse me of disrespecting them. No one can accuse me of complaining about them. And no one can ever say I talked about anybody. Thank God for that. If the Lord can change me like that, guess what? He can surely do the same for you. He can. Is it easy? No, it isn't. I don't want something easy. No, because if it's easy, that means I'm in favor with the world. I don't want favor with the world. I'm going to walk by faith. If the scripture says that the world's going to hate you, then if I follow Christ, that is what I should expect. Not to be a Rambo Christian and always say, well, I'm going to the very end and they're going to have to behead me and I'll still never give up. I don't do that. That's foolishness. I'll do all of what I can do, right? But I can tell you this now, the Lord is my strength. I've been through combat more than most. I have 8 years of combat in my life. 8 years. Dealing with Satan is nothing like combat. Talking to people who are not in uniform, who are not used to submitting to somebody else, is like nothing I've ever known. It truly is a different walk. You know what that means? You guys look up to soldiers and all this, that, and the other, and you say, wow, I wish I was like that. You don't yet realize you are like that. You don't realize that, do you? It's easy to fight a fight with known elements. It's so hard to fight a fight when the elements are unknown, because the truth is, you don't know who's going to be who the next day, do you? You can trust somebody one day. They may not be your brother tomorrow. You can depend on somebody one day. They may not be dependable tomorrow. And a soldier's war is not like that. You can always depend upon the uniform. Anybody bearing the right uniform, you can depend upon that person. You can stake your life on it. You can't do that. Not in this world. Nope, didn't work that way. So that means you have been soldiering. If you believe in Christ right now, you've been fighting the good fight. Do you know that? You've been fighting the good fight. If you are of age and you still believe in Christ, you've got combat medals already. Because a great many people did not make it. They didn't make it. They fell by the wayside. But you still believe in Christ. Doesn't matter what your hang-ups are. It matters how you're willing to step forward. how we can get things backwards sometimes, right? Can't we? Because we don't know. Sometimes we just don't know. You guys have more strength than you think. You just never knew it. And which is a good thing. Because no one needs to brag on themselves, right? No one do that. Consequently, that's why I like to fade into the shadows. I don't want anybody's praise or job well done, this and the other. You know what I want? I want for the Word of God to be real in people's lives. I want people to experience some of the breakthroughs that I've experienced. I want people to be sustained as the Lord is sustaining me. That He open your eyes so that you can see things long before they ever take hold. And if you do think I exercise some uncommon things in this place, I'll tell you right now, they're common. You're just not used to them yet. They're much more powerful than you two. And we live in different times. And I'll continue to express that. And parts of this world are not what you think they are. When you live your life by the interpretations of flesh, that's when you mess up. That's when they've got you. Right? That's when you have overlords in your life from earth. That's where you falter. But don't worry, the Lord can pick you back up at any given time. All of it's up to you. It's up to you and how you're willing to take this next step. So your thought really, whether you be in a storm in the middle of a tornado or not, what's your next step? Are you going to step in flesh or step with high purpose in Christ? Because He's the only one who ever died for you. The only one. And never forget the Father sent His Son to die for you because the Father loves you without end. Forget that. This is your process. You're choosing what family you're going to be an eternal part of. You are. You're doing that with every choice you make in life. You're being shown the truth of darkness and light. And every time you see the truth of both darkness and light, what do you end up choosing? The light. You only chose darkness, right? When you were fooled. Do you know that? That's when you chose the darkness. You guys got it there. You got it. So things are going to get rough. They will. We know that. We know it's going to get rough. But it's okay. It's all right. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. One way or another. We're going to get there. And the Lord will see us through. And your families. And everything you hold dear. Just keep covering them. Cover them. Be that active person. Right? They covered your family. Be that active person. Because when the arrows start flying. And they will. Very soon they will. It's going to make a lot of people nervous. You're going to notice much insecurities. Some people will forget about the Word of God and start operating heathenistically, like they have to save themselves or something. But you guys down that track with Christ, with high confidence in Christ. How do you do that, though? How do you have a high confidence in Jesus Christ in a time that hasn't even come yet? You want to know how? Anybody? You want to know how? How would anybody have a high confidence in Christ during the time we all know is coming? How could you get to that place right now when nothing is really happening? Anybody? Take your situation right now. And you handle that situation in accordance with faith right now, whether it be a small issue or a big issue. If you have an issue, you have an opportunity. If you don't have an issue, you don't have an opportunity. If your life is perfect, you don't have an opportunity. You don't. If something is messed up in your life, you have an opportunity. Start walking by faith and handle it by faith. Hope you know that. If something is wrong in your life, your relationship is wrong, something is wrong, you have an opportunity before you. You can start right now to build your confidence in Christ by handling all things by the Word of God. That means you start trusting in those scriptures. And when something happens, instead of asking everybody on the phone, go to the Word of God and say, Lord, show me how I can handle this. And be persistent. You'd be shocked at what he's going to show you. I used to do that randomly. I'd say, Lord, I need your help. And I would just randomly open up the Word of God and I'd start reading. At first, it wouldn't make sense. I'd continue to read. About 30 minutes later, my mind would be absolutely blown. It doesn't matter what part of the Word you turn to, God will start speaking to you. It does not matter what book it is. It really does not. He'll start speaking to you, specifically to you. And he will instruct you well, and it will blow your mind. And you'll have no choice after it's all said and done for that particular issue. You'll have no choice but to start. You'll say, wait a minute, God is real, not just one real, but two reals or three reals. He's very real. And this Word is alive. That's what you'll begin to notice. You'll really notice that these words can speak the same thing from every single page if necessary. That's what you'll find out. See, a person that's absent in the Spirit, they'll never find that out. Never. They'll never see it. To them, they're going to have to keep everything in order. They're going to have to keep everything, you know, in contextual order to discern just a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, God can say the same thing to you over and over again through every page of the Bible. He can. Now, I don't know about you, but mankind is not able to do that. How can mankind orchestrate anything like that? That means God did not hinge your full salvation upon the textual errors of mankind, grammatical errors of mankind. He didn't do that. When you open this Word, something happens spiritually. Something beyond comprehension. I'm telling you this so you can go ahead and accept it and move on. So you don't sit there and start flipping through pages and say, how does this work? And then you get stuck on trying to figure out how it works. Some people do that, by the way. Right? Me? I used to do that a lot. I could not turn a light switch on and just be content that the light came on. I had to know what was behind that switch? How that light was illuminating? What was it hooked up to? I had to know. After years of that, I found out something. But did I find out quite a bit? Yes, I did. But I also realized something. I can't do anything about how the spiritual realm works. I should have, if I were smart, really smart, I would have accepted what the Lord was doing. In other words, I would have turned the light switch on and utilized the light, not question how it was working in the first place. Imagine starting your car. You never go anywhere because now you're concerned about how everything operates. You're so concerned, you shut the car back off. You begin to take the car apart. The smart guy is going to start the car and simply go to work. He may wonder how everything works, but he accepts that it's working. Faith is the same way. Some people, they'll walk by faith, see something happen, they'll stop and spend years analyzing how something worked. What's the genetic makeup of God? This, that, and the other. And they'll get certain answers, but they're non-fulfilling answers. Then they'll find out they haven't taken a step in 30 years. Really, the real smart ones by the way, all the people that were, you know, I wasn't too bright because I had to know how things worked. The smart ones will simply say, thank you, Lord. And they'll use it for whatever they're attempting to accomplish for the sake of the Lord. These days, I accept that the Lord knows what he's doing. I don't have to know why God does what he does. I don't. There are so many things I don't have to know anymore. I simply accept that God knows exactly what he's doing. That's it. What a simple life. It is. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's very odd. You know, I was, before I got on air, I was talking to Angela. I have the migraines for about the last week or so. I've had those from time to time in COT, right? Every single time I start a spiritual conversation, they go away. Isn't that funny? That's funny. Now, if I were to talk about ET, I would have had to quit already. I said, nope, guys, I gotta go. Gotta go. The Lord always does that. Do you know that? It's just impossible. It's impossible. He always does that. It's like he nullifies the pain for a moment. Well, I'm talking about certain things. He does this every single time. How can that happen every single time? Every single time. Anyway, all right, back to you guys. Let me take a couple questions because I only have like 10 more minutes. Oh, these protests, they're getting worse. You guys know that, right? Getting much worse. And I hope that you guys never get caught up in the violence. Hope that you never do. Somebody says, Mike, is the reason for the Middle East that people Israel promised? I'm saying as far as you phrase it, Joshua King for the wilderness led out into the phrase of it. Yes. The reason for all the upheaval in the promised land is the same for the upheaval in your life. You ready? Anywhere righteousness is found, Satan will oppose. Here on this earth, Satan will always oppose the righteous. And so because Israel, right, is marked by the living God and promises are by God to humanity, to his own people, Satan wants to interrupt that. He does. And so you have first opposition. Then you have the process of complication that comes in. Then you have the tie-up. And what the tie-up is, it's just like that person in your life that comes into your life. They do not want to fix. They don't want you to help them or anything else. They just talk to you about all their problems. And when they leave, you're stuck with all their problems. You're thinking about all their problems. Well, that effectively stops you from doing anything for the Lord. When you start thinking about everybody else's problems and you're stuck in your chair, depressed because of everybody's problems, you're no longer taking any steps of faith in any direction. That's what Satan does. He alters the path of those who are called to righteousness. He attempts to slow down what you're doing. He knows the impact you'll have on everything around you, right? Same thing is known of Israel. Do you know that in the book of Jeremiah, God said he would have healed the entire earth through Israel? He said that. But he said she would not acknowledge her iniquity. And so for that reason, he said he would have indignation against her. But he would hold, or he would stay his indignation until the last days. That's why you read about the indignation that must be accomplished. That is the 3.5 years. Jerusalem is trampled underfoot. And then when God is satisfied with his indignation, he will look down upon his land and pity the people. He'll remember all of his covenants and enforce, he'll enforce directly his love for his people in view of everybody who set themselves against Israel. Anybody right now who talks against a Jew with hate, they're never going to get away with that. They cannot run from it. They can cover it up all day. They're going to have to answer for it. God blinded his people for a reason. He did. So that we can have the word. What do you think is going to happen when he opens their eyes again? Those who went against Israel. All those who hated the Jews. All those who internally wanted to see the Jews suffer. And indeed took steps towards that process. They can never escape what's coming for them. Never. So don't think for one moment anybody has ever gotten away with anything. They have not. They haven't. God has just given everybody time to repent. Because when things begin, you're going to get locked in. And for many, it's going to be too late. Somebody said, agree, we are all. Said agree. Somebody says, we do know Israel started Hamas, no elements in the Middle East, right? Israel has people in it that are not part of Israel. God knows it too. That's why it's in such turmoil. That's why. But I want you to think of the core of things. I did this a few times, analyzing counterparts in the Middle East many years ago. I began to think everything spiritually. And sure enough, I mean, true to form, I began to track the spirits. The spirits, same spirits, were hopping from group to group, the exact same spirits. Now, let me give an explanation for this. You ready? Spirits, so that you can know them, say the same thing every single time. No matter who they work through, they have the same statements every single time. Now, hear me on this. That means if you know somebody who's been compromised spiritually a long time ago, and let's say they go out of your life and somebody else comes into your life to start trouble again, they end up saying the same things that the other person said a long time ago. Neither one of them knew each other, right? There are elements within this country and other countries that are just like that. Because who's behind many of these kingdoms? Satan is. Not the Father, Satan is. And so they end up doing the exact same thing no matter what banner they hold up. It's the same fruit they bear. That is key. They keep continually produce the same fruit over and over again. And just like you guys have known a person who has been an issue in your life, and then they go away, right? You thought you got rid of that person, and you meet somebody else who comes and says the exact same thing as the other person did. The exact same phrases, the exact same, they point the finger the same and everything. And then you're confused because you say, wait a minute, I thought I got rid of the person. Here this person is now saying what the other person used to say. And sure enough, if you get rid of that person, that spirit's going to hop and utilize somebody else and come right back to you. Until you defeat this spirit, you're stuck with the same issue in life. Do you know that? Now, once you defeat the spirit, then you really have defeated something in truth. If you do not defeat that spirit, those spirits are always going to use somebody to come back with the same exact thing they left with. Remember that. So Israel is the same way. There are elements in Israel that don't like Israel, just like there are elements in the USA that don't like the USA. And you also live in the days when they call good evil and evil good. You do. But not everybody is compromised. Remember that. And out of those people who are not compromised, God said he would touch them, right? He'll do something with them. But make no mistake. Make no mistake. They're bad apples in every single bucket these days. Lots of bad apples. We do well to remember that. And that way, so we don't start glorifying what can never be glorified. I don't want to glorify something corrupt. Hope that you guys don't either, right? Righteousness is righteousness, but there are a lot of people these days, they're calling what is dark righteous. They really are. You got to be careful of that because people are doing it all the time. They got to separate what's holy from what man did. They got to be careful to do that. Because today they're making it one in the same. It's not one in the same. It's different. What man has done, man has done. And what the Lord did, the Lord did. And what God did, God did. But what, you know, God didn't do what man did. No. God does the righteous work. Not some flesh work. He didn't do that. And these kingdoms on this earth are dark. They're incredibly dark, truth be told. It's just that they hide their darkness. They also laugh at those who don't know they're dark in the first place. Right? They do. Having said that, many people are going to be fooled. They will. That's why I constantly tell you guys that when you finally see that truth and it comes to, when that truth comes to the forefront, don't sit there and beat yourself up and stall for time. Just say, okay, I messed up big time, and get up and go forward. In the name of the Lord, get up and go forward. Don't sit there and beat yourself up and become ineffective in everything simply because you did not see the truth of the status of all these nations. To me, it's very easy. Right? Righteousness will bless someone. And everybody wins. Wickedness will reward someone, but somebody always has to die. That's how it works. Somebody said, Mike, can you explain what you meant about tomorrow night, the next few days? Well, because of the trouble in the Middle East, we're about to see an uptick in hostilities yet again. Israel is not finished their initial plans with Iran. So they're going to start to redivert all those efforts against her adversaries, right? Right in their own territory. So in a couple of days, don't be surprised if you see a few things break out. Israel had to be stopped a few times. If somebody takes their hand and lets Israel or Benjamin Netanyahu do what they intend to do, you're talking about a huge breakout of war. That's what I mean by that. We can't hold them all forever. Can't. Can't do it. Somebody said, blindness is not for time. There's a quote. You do know that there's a quote for blindness. That's in the quote. You have to argue with, because the blindness of God's people is not in one place. It's in many different places in the Word of God, right? And he did that so that the power of the holy people could be distributed, so that we could receive, right? It does say partial blindness in one place. It says they were blinded in others. It made no stipulation about partial, right? So, you know, I won't fight over the words or anything like that. That's useless. But they were blinded. Because why? That's part of the purpose of why they're here in the first place. God didn't blind them out of a punishment. It's part of God's process. Do you see that? That's part of God's process. That's simply part of his process. It's not some punishment. It'd be a very foolish punishment. It's part of the process. And he did that for a reason, didn't he? And so that's why when they don't know Christ, we know they don't know Christ because when Jesus steps foot on the earth, the Bible says that they will walk up to him and say, who put these holes in your hands? And he'll say, my friends did this to me. Then when all that is read, it says they will be his people and he will be their God. what the Lord did, God did what he did purposely. God's not reacting to anything. Our Father's an architect on every single level. Remember that. He's not reactive. He's an architect. And he thinks on all dimensions, not one or two. And his love is real. There's no hate in him that he would exercise that upon his people like that. Even his punishment of his own people is a filtering of those who never belonged with him in the first place. Do you not know that through their blindness, it's going to be discovered of them who was false in the first place? That's why you read that term, right? When in Revelation where it says, I know you're in the place where they say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You know why it says that? Because some of the people there appear to be Jews, but all they do is tear down and their heart is wrong. Why? Because of their lineage. Because they are not of the living God. That's why. All these people full of violence and hatred that do exercise it, he already told us how they're going to be dealt with. If anybody takes part of that violence, they're going to pay for it. They will not escape what's coming to them. When you partake of violence, people do so because they want to exercise violence. There's no violence in love. None. Jesus took the abuses of everything that came. Did he strike anybody down? No, he did not. But he took the abuses so that we don't have to. Ha ha, didn't he? We can still do all things out of love. You know what that means? If somebody curses you out, you don't curse them out too. You bless those who curse you. How about that one? God is intentional with what he does. And not one soul should ever pretend like somehow they've figured him out. God is an architect. We live in his existence for his pleasure. We're not experts on him. He's the expert on us. We do well to interpret what he gives us. When it comes to his people, he purposed everything. He already said that at the beginning, or the end would not be determined from the beginning. And what is he doing? What is he doing? He's making somebody's enemies their footstool. That's what he's been doing, hasn't he? Hasn't he? Isn't that what he's doing? And what is his ultimate intention? Even with the three unclean spirits, does anybody know? Anybody know what that is? He already told us what his intentions were. He told us. He told us he intended to bring everybody down. He told us. He did. He also told us that he's going to deal with the serpent. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Did you hear that? Making people feel good. By good words and fair speeches, that means everybody can deal with the speech. What are they doing? They're deceiving the hearts of the simple. Those who simply want to be fed. For the obedience, listen, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men, I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's one of those totality things right there. You know why I read that? Not because of that person who said about that. Not because of the blindness. No, it was because of that. That's something we learn by reading and study, right? So I read this. Because there are some who have a doctrine of hatred towards the Jews, period. That's why I read this. They have an absolute hatred towards the Jews. They come up with their own excuses to hate the Jews. And there are some who excuse some of those Jews who should not be excused. What do I mean by that? I'm telling you again. Not everybody who says they're a Jew is a Jew. That's why you leave that in the hands of the Messiah. That's why you leave that in the hands of the living God. See, when you're unable to see the interior portion, the truth of a person, you leave it alone so that you're not intruding or invading in things you don't know of. That's why I read that. I don't know about you guys, but I can perceive this hatred. And soon it's going to turn to anything connected to Christianity. That means you. Soon they're going to hate you. Because they're going to connect you with them. Soon they're going to break free from this moral cage they say we have put them in, and Christianity has put them in. And if you go on these college campuses, that's what you hear. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing mockers. Go near some of these. If you live near one of these colleges and you can passively observe and hear, listen to what they're talking about. Just listen to what they're talking about. They're talking about Christianity. They're talking about these rules of the God of Israel. That's what they're talking about. So when I said, why do people hate the Jews? The same reason people hate rats. They hate a rat, but they love a squirrel. And a squirrel is nothing but a fuzzy rat. Those who belong to the living God, they do not hate the Jews. Hate of your fellow man comes from one source, and it did not come from the living God. In a lot of cases, it comes from education of somebody who is an undercover hater of something. It comes from violence and darkness. It is a learned behavior like racism. Now, everybody grows, and some people have to grow beyond what they've been taught in their heritage and the violence they've been a part of already. Some people truly believe that their life is ruined because of the Jews. They truly believe that. Some people truly believe that things are stolen from them because of the Jews. That gets into racism. It's kind of like a long time ago when African Americans, they didn't quite like Caucasians because they say Caucasians will not hire them. And which was true, but as time went on, right, there was a separation. Now, if a person today were to rise up, say an African-American rose up today and said they hated Caucasians because of what happened to some distant person in their family, okay, but there's a disconnect. That's a learned behavior. That has to be broken. See, in the world, that's reinforced. In holiness, forgiveness is the order of the day, correct? We don't hold grudges, roots of bitterness because of things like that, right? Because of this country, America, speaking of America and some other countries, let's go ahead and face it. Racism is always practiced at some level because of people who believe in those ways of racism, right? It goes hand in hand with some of the evil doctrine that circulates throughout the world. And what I'm telling you is that the Lord is going to straighten all that out. No innocent person is going to perish. God's not going to make a mistake and condemn somebody who shouldn't be condemned. There are undercover devils all over the place, and they sow doctrines like this into families. They started a long time ago, so they're deeply embedded with these ideologies. It's up to us to be examples of God's truth. All too often to be an example, to break the ideology that somebody believes in. For example, suppose a Jew that everybody hates is all around them. And they suffer being beaten by a mob. But that same Jew, they later found out, cleared away all their school debt. Oops. Right? Or did something nice to everybody. Or is the reason they can still go to school because that person contributed much to having that school, the same school they're protesting and having that school survive certain eras of financial resistance. But who would go through? Who would still do good when somebody does evil to them? You know what happens when you do evil to a person and then you later find out they've been nothing but good? You know what happens to you? It rips your heart into thousands of pieces. It causes you to become, to be an advocate of love itself. But here's what I'm telling you. Who's going to be the one that will endure all of what comes for the sake of the Lord, to be that, to sow that initial seed? Who shall the Lord send? Who will absorb all the abuses all around them? Because it starts with the person. It starts with that one person who loves back no matter what. It starts with the person who takes everything. And all they do is sow love. We read in history about people right now who took all abuses and did nothing but good on the other end. Have you noticed that all those people who fought back and killed and murdered to get a position, we don't read about them. They don't hold our attention. You know what holds our attention is the underdog. Is the one that kept their morals. Is the one that was taken full advantage of. But then they kept their morals. And later on, we find out the good that they did. That's what captivates us. When we find out they were abused. Christ, the story of Christ is just like that. He came to be a sacrifice for us. He did nothing but good, healing, and everything else. What did they do to him? They accused him. They spat on him. They beat him. They did everything they could do. Look how they exiled the prophets and then killed the prophets. But we read about those prophets. Why? Because they were willing to die for what they believed in. They did no evil against anybody. They did good. It was people doing evil against them. And we saw them involved with righteous acts. What about your movies and books? Is the character in that movie or book that did the right thing but was blamed for everything? That's the character you start rooting for. And you say to yourself, I hope they make it. I hope they make it. I hope they make it. Who will the Lord send? Who can take all that stuff? Many of you were put in places where you, people have heaped abuses upon you. The first part is complete. You know what happens to a person that heaps abuses upon you, and then they find out that in fact you did not heap abuses upon them? You know what they do? It breaks them inside. That's the day they truly hear what you have to say. You know, the hardest thing is to get another person to actually listen to what you're saying. And I'm telling you that when you're utilized as a vessel of the Most High, often abuses are going right in your direction. But when you handle them according to the Word of God, God uses you. They make soft the people around you, the hearts. When they open up, God can then speak to them through your situation. And you will have been used for the redemption of many. That's what normally happens. In fact, that's what always happens. Michael, do you believe that God will let you know if you're going home soon? Yes, I do. I do. Not for all. not for all. See, some people, if God let some people know they're going home soon, they would turn into, it'd be like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Or they could be disingenuous. Right? But I do 100% believe that the Lord tells us when we're going home. He gives us an idea. I know a lot of people whose their own departure was no surprise. It was no surprise. Some people know it for a fact. And they know they have a job to do before it takes place. They do. Okay? But either way, the Lord's way is concrete. It really is. It really is concrete. Right? Let nothing in these kingdoms or of this world, doctrines or anything else, let nothing cause you to become just like those in the world. Your Father has called you out of the world. Remember that. Yes. Somebody said, is Admin A on, Brother Michael? Is Admin A on? Is it aware? Yes, it is. But it does something else. It's been reassigned. It may try to respond. It's not allowed to. It's still not allowed to respond. Okay, folks. Are you guys in the storms? I'm praying for you guys. Listen, I'm going to have Channel Zero on because of what we're about to go through. So it's going to be on. So don't be surprised if I flip on Channel Zero from time to time. Admins, I'm going to record when I'm on Channel Zero. It is set to auto record every time I get on there. So if you happen to miss something, there'll be a compiled folder with audio in there. You can grab it anytime. I'll show you where that is, too. You're the only ones that can access it, so I'll put the link in the chat room, right? And it's not going to matter because nobody else can actually can get to it. You guys have already been cleared, okay? So we get that squared away, just in case it's important. Right? We do sit at the precipice of a few plans. We do, unfortunately. And that's just the world we live in. You guys be safe. Continue to pray for each other, please. Yeah, you guys have another chat room, too. It's called, it's another chat room. You guys have to flash. So we can get some work done in there. So I was doing some of that today, too. Actually, I've been working on a lot of code today. I pray the Lord this thing works out. I do. We're going to find out. Folks, continue to get ready. And I'm going to see you guys next time. Remember, Channel Zero. I'm going to keep it going for the next couple days or so. All right. Because of what we're about to go through. I anticipate something. I'll put it that way. All right. God bless you guys. The Lord will keep you. Keep each other in prayer. Be sensitive to those who are caught in these storms, please. Please. Do that. God bless and keep all of you always. I'll see you next time right here at the Council of Time.